The reading tonight is from Mark chapter 10, and it's verses 46 to 52. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have this evening to just spend a few minutes now with your word. We thank you for the opportunity to spend this time celebrating Katie and Arnie and all that they have given to you. And we ask that as we look at your word now and we think about transformation, that you would be at work by your Holy Spirit, transforming each one of us as we hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Guilty TV pleasures. I don't know what yours are. I'm not going to tell you mine. There's quite a few. In fact, there's probably one at about 9 o'clock this evening, 9:15 on ITV. Yeah, I'm a celebrity. Everyone's going, no. Anyway, that's not what I want to talk about. I'm not going to talk about I'm a celebrity. But I want to think a little bit about one of the things that I have a little bit of a guilty pleasure when it comes to TV programmes, and that is home makeovers. I don't know what it is about home makeovers, but I love it. I love seeing people just being blown away by the way their house has been transformed, and particularly on DIY SOS. There's just something about that programme that just makes me really happy and sad at the same time. I cry quite a lot when I watch it. I don't know if anyone else is the same. But there's just something about that programme. There's a feel-good factor in it, isn't there? There's something about those home makeovers that we know transform people's lives, because for some of them, it changes their house in a way that they can actually live in it and all of those things. So sometimes that happens, but there are occasions when it doesn't, when a home makeover hinders rather than helps. So for example, if you look at that carpet looks quite nice, doesn't it? Until you look close and realise it's sand. Why would you make a carpet out of sand? I don't know. Or how about this one? The designer of this room has decided it's a really good idea to put the furniture on the ceiling. Why? Or how about this one? This doesn't look too bad. Until you look closely and realise that the wallpaper is not wallpaper, it's straw stuck on the walls. Those are just a few of the random examples I found when I searched online for home makeovers gone wrong. There's all sorts. Just have a look yourselves. It's incredible. Those are all American, but if you ever watched Changing Rooms, you'll know that it doesn't just exist in America. Then there's the sort of individual makeovers. You know those moments when the person's standing in front of the mirror and then it turns round and they're like, "Oh, wow, I look amazing." And you're thinking, it's all right. Or maybe you've seen that TV programme with the horrible title, Snog, Marry, Avoid. It could be worse. It's just such a horrible title, isn't it? But on that sort of programme, someone turns up and everyone's trying to sort of make them over. And by the end, I personally feel often they look worse than they started. And the person who's like been transformed looks a lot less comfortable than they did when they arrived. The fact is, quite a lot of those sort of makeover programmes are on the surface only, aren't they? They're not any more than that. Yet the fact is, transformation for good, transformation for eternity, is possible. And the blind beggar, Bartimaeus, that man that we read about in our reading, experienced that transformation. He had a far more profound and life-changing makeover. There he was. Probably hundreds of others in a similar situation, sitting on the roadside just outside Jericho, begging, calling out for those who are passing him to give him money or food. But then as he's begging, he hears a crowd of people passing by. Just for a moment, imagine what it would have felt like, the sound of hundreds of feet shuffling past, the feeling of the dust being picked up and going into your nose and your mouth, the murmur of voices jabbering about what they've heard or what's going on. And so Bartimaeus, sitting by the roadside begging, asks what's happening. And the crowd tell him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. I wonder what you would do if you were in his position. What would you do if you heard those words, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by? Would you call out? Would you laugh? Would you think that they're pulling your leg? Or would you do what Bartimaeus, the blind beggar, did? He called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Even the fact that those who were leading the way told him to shut up didn't stop him. He still called out, son of David, have mercy on me. There was something that meant that this blind beggar realized he had to cry out to Jesus. Maybe he had heard of him before, heard of some of the things that Jesus had done. What's interesting is that he doesn't cry out, Jesus, give me some money, give me some food. He doesn't say that to the crowd either as they shuffle by that we know about anyway. He just wants to cry out to Jesus, have mercy on me. And it works because Jesus hears what is going on and he calls to the blind man. And then he asks this question, which I just find amazing. Jesus asks this man, what do you want me to do? What a question that is. What do you want me to do for you? And so the man simply replies, Lord, I want to see. And so Jesus replies, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Now that is amazing, isn't it? That Bartimaeus is healed just by Jesus saying to him, receive your sight. But the fact is that the restoring of this man's sight was not just so that he could physically see, although of course that is good. The fact that the man could now see was amazing, but what happened after he could see is just, if not more, important. Because after the man saw, he got up and he walked on the road with Jesus. He followed Jesus. He saw that he could follow Jesus. His eyes were opened to Jesus. And I love it because we're told that he followed, praising God. I've got images of him sort of singing a song or doing a little dance all the way along the road behind Jesus. So the transformation of Bartimaeus was not only partly seen in the restoring of his sight, but it was made even more amazing by the fact that he went on to follow Jesus and walk with him. His transformation had meaning and purpose. So his was a powerful and life-changing makeover, if you like. Far better, far more meaningful than anything you will ever see on TV. If you like, his transformation was not just skin deep, it was soul deep. So there was a reason for the transformation of the blind man. It was not just so that he could see, but so that he could follow Jesus. He went from begging by a roadside to following Jesus on the road and praising God. He didn't suddenly get anything material, but he got the best gift of all. He got to meet Jesus and follow him. So the transformation of this blind man didn't stop at the point he said, I want to see. It continued as he walked with Jesus. And of course, that is the same for each one of us as well. I didn't become a Christian because of what it looks like on the outside, or so that I could be called a Christian, so I could wear a badge or go to church or put stickers on my car or wear a dog collar and be a vicar. I became a Christian because I met Jesus and wanted to follow him. I wanted to walk with him, to be transformed by him. And I know that that is the same for those being baptized today. It's not about what it looks like, but what it means. When I met Jesus, my eyes were opened to see how amazing he is. When I met Jesus, I saw that he's interested in every aspect of my life, that he loves me, that he cares about me, that he knows everything about me, and that despite the fact that he knows everything about me, my good qualities, my bad qualities, those things I do wrong, those thoughts I have about other people, those things I regret doing, that he died for me to take on himself those things I've done wrong. So although I'm not physically blind, and we may not be physically blind, I was spiritually blind. And we can all be spiritually blind. Blind to who Jesus is. Blind to what he's done for us on the cross. And I have news for every single one of us, and I've got good news for every single one of us. Because Jesus says to me, and he says to you, just what he said to Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" After answering that question, the blind man set off on the road with Jesus. The road would take Jesus to the cross, where he would take the blindness and despair and the sin of the world upon himself. That he would take everything we have done or thought so that we could be forgiven and have a hope of life in eternity. That he took the death that we all deserve for our sins, and he died for us, each one of us. And so I want to say to you today, not just Jesus is passing by, but Jesus is here with us now. And he would love you to call out to him, say, "Jesus, I want to see." We heard in that story that some people rebuked the blind man, telling him to be quiet and to shut up. But that just made him shout out all the more. So maybe you have been rebuked by someone else telling you, "Don't find out about Jesus." Maybe they've tried to put you off. Well, there are those here this evening, of them, who will say, "Don't be put off, because following Jesus isn't easy, but it's certainly worth it." Imagine, for example, coming to Christmas and experiencing Christmas knowing that you are celebrating the birth of the man who died for you. Isn't that an incredible thing? It's not about the cards and the gifts and the tinsel and the trees and all of that. It's all about what Jesus has done for you. So when we look at the blind man, we discover that the blind man had to take quite a lot of courage to do what he did, even though because there were people telling him to not do it. It took him a lot of courage to shout out to Jesus. But look at the transformation and the reason for the transformation. He went from being by the side of the road begging to walking with Jesus and praising God. He went to follow the one who would ultimately lay down his life. Notice also that he didn't stay where he was. He didn't receive his sight and stay. He got up. He moved. He followed. He could have thanked Jesus and run off to his family or his friends. He could have run off and looked at the sights around him. But he didn't. He responded to Jesus by following him. Because responding to Jesus demands an action. An action we've seen really powerfully today. So maybe you need to take that step of courage. That step of courage and faith to say, "Jesus, I want to see." But remember, that also means getting up and following Jesus and walking with him through the good, through the bad, but ultimately so that you can know his love and his forgiveness and the promise of eternal. And so Jesus says to each one of us this evening, "What do you want me to do for you?" How do you respond to that question? If you haven't responded to that question before, if you've never responded in the way that the blind beggar did, then I really encourage you to think about it, to follow Jesus. And I'll give you an opportunity in a moment to do just that. On the other hand, maybe you realise that you have responded to Jesus, but you haven't done that whole getting up and following thing yet. Maybe your response is to act, to do something. Or maybe you're someone who's done both of those things and you know Jesus. Well, my question to you is, how are you continuing to get to know him? How are you helping others and not putting them off like some of those in that passage? Or maybe there's a fourth thing. Maybe that question that Jesus asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" is a question that is really beating in your heart this evening for another reason. Because I believe that's a question that Jesus is asking to every single one of us this evening. But there is a specific question I want to ask to a few of us, I believe, this evening. And that is, are you ready to say, "I want to see, I want to follow you, Jesus. I want to see, I want to follow you, Jesus." Is that a phrase you need to say?